I'd like to introduce Luke Elford. You have met him before, of course, and he's going to talk about the state of marine energy in New Zealand.
Thanks, Nick. Back again. So really just want to give a recap and a summary of the state of marine energy in New Zealand as it stands now. Some of this will be building on some of the comments Mike's just made in the first part. So really look at New Zealand's sort of strategic environment for marine energy. This slide is taken straight from the Ministry for Economic Development's 2009 publication around looking to the future in terms of electricity generation by fuel in New Zealand. So this is purely the electricity sector. The dotted line up the middle is today, and you can see by type that we're still dominated by hydro. Gas is important, increasingly geothermal is there. And coal is playing its part at the moment, as well as and winds increasing. But looking to the future, the key thing out of this is what Mike just mentioned, that electricity demand is expected to carry on growing. And it's about 1.5% a year, it's predicted. That's slightly less than it has been in the past. And that's probably a combination in the short term of the recession. You can see that little dip down before the dotted line, which is the recession impact. And it's going to be an impact using our power more wisely and more efficiency along the way, as well as the inevitability of higher prices for electricity and people becoming more efficient around that. But the overriding message is that there is increasing demand, and that gap needs to be filled somehow. And what's interesting on this graph for the MED is they largely see that being met at this point by a little bit of hydro, quite a lot of geothermal, and quite a lot of wind, and marine energy isn't on that map at this point in time. And I think it's very important for our tier in the industry, and carrying on from what Mike said, that it does appear on that graph in next time they update that, or in the next year or two. Just a quick note here, what is also important on this graph is you see coal basically disappearing, and that's the purple one. So that's effectively Huntly being shut down. So not only do we have to keep up with that 1.5% per year, we've also got to backfill that big lump of coal that disappears. So where does marine energy fit? If fundamentally, MED, along with that graph just showing you there, assume that the average cost, which is often referred to as the long-run marginal cost of power, is going to go up with time. And as you go along, the low-hanging fruit is going to get developed first, and probably over the next few years, that's things like high-temperature geothermal and easy-access geothermal, the higher-speed wind sites, and some hydro. And so what we see in the future is the price of electricity is going up. Meanwhile, there's an expectation that the cost of developing technologies will come down, so as you move from prototype into sort of first deployment, and then as you get sort of mass production, the price comes down. Really, in simple terms, where the price of electricity rises and your price of production comes down, where those two start to meet, you start to see a technology being taken off, and it stands on its own 2 feet, as Mike said. And probably the best example of that is wind energy, particularly in New Zealand, where it isn't subsidised anyway by the government, and it is standing on its own 2 feet, and it's competing with hydro and gas and coal as we stand now. And at some point somewhere out in the future, marine will reach that point as well. But as Mike said, it has got to compete with the other renewables, and we do have a wealth of those. So really part of our tier's role is really to promote the industry, make sure it stays on the radar in terms of those kind of predictions that I've just shown from MED, and then really support that early deployment. And things like the Chatham Islands, I think, will be the early deployment, where you have currently a very high electricity price at the moment, around about 80 cents a kilowatt compared to maybe 20 back in town. And that's where you're going to see these early deployments. The New Zealand Energy Strategy, I touched on it before in my opening address. That was set in 2007 by the past government, enacted in 2007. And in that energy strategy, it did look at marine energy, and it made some forecasts around that, and was really looking at an uptake of around 200 megawatts by 2030. The current government's reviewing the energy strategy, and it's still under review, and we expect a revised edition expected this year. And there's a strong likelihood that key renewable energy target of 90% renewables for electricity will remain by 2025, that Mike referred to. And we strongly like to see, and we're lobbying strongly for marine energy remaining in that energy strategy as part of the mix. The other key part of the New Zealand energy strategy is, and I've already mentioned this, is the Marine Energy Deployment Fund, which is in its third year, and that's a key to getting these embryonic schemes off the ground and going. Just on that, it's an $8 million New Zealand fund over 4 years. It must connect a useful load if you sit into the funds, and it can only fund the portions of the cost. It was first awarded to Crest Energy in 2008 for their subject to a resource consent, which was granted for their project in the Wellington Cook Strait. And the second award last year was to the Power Projects and Wet NZ project around a project development. And as Mike said, there will shortly be another announcement, hopefully. And as I've mentioned already, looking ahead, one of our TIER's key role is to work with the government agencies and to look at our strategic route map going forward and the place that MEDF extension of that fund has in the future. So just quickly going through some New Zealand projects, you'll hear a lot more about these over the next few days. But just to emphasise the key ones that are out there, Neptune Power have a consent. Already submitted an approval in August 2007 for a single prototype in the Cook Strait. That was the first non-notified consent for a marine project to succeed. And they have big plans for Cook Strait. They're currently working through their sort of concept plans for their devices. If anyone's interested, they're certainly keen to talk to people in terms of potential investors around those projects. The second one, and it's had a lot of publicity over the last year or two, is Crest Energy, and this is the Kaipa Harbour up in Northland, looking at harnessing the energy in the harbour mouth. They were the recipients of the fund last year. They do have consent through the council hearing. That was appealed to the Environment Court, and the Environment Court hearing finished last year. And I think, I'm not too clear on the detail, but I think they're actually still agreeing on some of the issues around those consent conditions, but you can hear more from Crest later on. Third one is Wet NZ, or Wave Energy Technology New Zealand. This is a government fund consortium, an RD project, to look at developing a wage energy converter. It started in 2004. The first one was the first prototype was deployed in Wellington Harbour in 2008. And they're ongoing with their research, and you'll hear a lot more from this in the next couple of days. They also have a resource consent application in process. Energy Pacifica are the fourth project probably worth noting. Energy Pacifica are looking at developing the energy in the tidal stream in the Torrey Channel, which is just across the way here at the top of the South Island in the Marble Sounds. They have a consent application for their project in preparation. They've been doing a lot of consulting, I know, with local interested parties and stakeholders, and the application is anticipated soon, I understand. There is a range of other projects sort of that have been talked about. A couple of those, the Tidal Power Sea Mills, which is under Tidal Energy NZ, and a couple of others which are worth mentioning. And there's about 25 in total, which are sort of on the radar in New Zealand. Some of them probably not too active at the moment, but it gives you a feel for where the industry is at the moment in New Zealand. The one I haven't mentioned here, which certainly deserves it, and you'll hear more about tomorrow, is the Chatham Island project as well, so you'll hear a lot more about that. Thank you. I just did a very high-level overview of that, and over to you, Nick.